Blog Talk Radio.
They ordered pineapple. You gotta smell the butt to know if it's right.
Hear that noise? Make it white.
Precious cream always in the bag.
Because cream rules everything around.
All right, chefs, we gotta go get the beans.
Think they asked for big, bro.
Yeah, what I mean?
Chef, they definitely said pinto beans.
Actually, they want fava beans.
You're so good at this.
We get groceries. DoorDash.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Genesia, the commissioner of WBNN. For those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the TextNow app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
Yeah,
This is the product of Beverly Nation. This is the talker, Wanda Walker, on air from Lagos. Dial in at 516-453-9133. And please remember to press the number 1 to join the conversation. Brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Hello, 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 everyone. It's been a minute, but I'm here, and I have a very interesting show tonight with 3 guests. And my first guest is David O. He is running for the position of mayor in Philadelphia. And I feel honored to have this time to be able to interview him and talk to him and have you all call in and ask questions so that you really understand the importance of voting and what it takes to be a good mayor and run any big city. Without further ado, do we have David O. on the line right now?
David, yes. Hello, Wanda. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you. I'm doing great now that I hear your voice. So let's get to it because I know you're very busy. You are running for mayor for Philadelphia. What is this, the second largest city? So first tell us some things about you, why you're qualified, and why you're taking on such a big task in a time that is very difficult for this city. A lot of transitioning going on.
Yeah, so thank you very much. Philadelphia is the sixth largest city in the United States of America, but the second largest on the East Coast. Philadelphia is the birthplace of America, and it holds a special importance not only in our history, but in the history of many nations around the world that founded their democracy very much on the idea that was established here in Philadelphia, that all people are created equal and that we can have a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. So I served on council, city council, for 11 years. I was an at-large council person, which means I served the entire city. I was not limited to one district. I served all 10 districts of the city. And in that time, I tried to do certain things that I thought were important, I think many people believe are important, dealing with crime. And we have different ideas about how to deal with crime. But I believed it was important that we have a city of laws and that people could rely on the police to protect them and that there would be intelligent and courteous response from the police, which requires, one, that they're properly trained and that they serve. They have an ability to serve with the proper tools and proper training.
Okay.
That will make them work well with people.
David, can you tell me what separates you from other candidates that have run for this position, and specifically, because I sent out a lot of messages and posts, and people want to know, how are you different than your opponent that's running for this same position? Both of you have a lot of political experience. She has more experience as far as years. But what makes you better qualified? Can you please tell all of the listeners out there, what are the things that you other people did not stand for and some of the fights that you took on when nobody else would take on those fights?
Yeah, so first, she has more years in politics but less years in city government. I actually have more years as a councilperson. But I think the fundamental difference beyond, you know, the fact that in addition to serving in city council, you know, I am an attorney who understands the law. I have a history of serving in the district attorney's office, which means I understand law enforcement, actually fought crime on the ground. I was in the DA's office here in Philadelphia for 3 years. I also served in the military, and I advised a lot of small businesses and large businesses and other types of people. But I also did civil rights work and employment discrimination type work, those type of things. You know, I think one of the most important things right now, the difference between myself and Parker is this. I fought the political establishment to become elected. You know, I'm a Republican who fought with the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, and I've been very much an outsider serving on city council. Therefore, I took up issues that were not taken up by most of the people in city council. My opponent, Parker, is very much of the machine. She was a majority leader on council, a ward leader, and very much someone who's been involved on the side of the political establishment and has been very much backed by them. And so we have differences. She's oftentimes protected city government, whereas I have tried to reform city government. So, for example, we started with, fully funding the police. I try to fully fund the police. I try to provide them what they need at a time where there were efforts to reduce police funding, reduce the police's ability to enforce the law, those type of things. And so, for example, I did not sign what was then called the defund the police letter. It really didn't defund the police. It was just called that. It was a letter saying to the mayor that we're not going to approve your $14 million request for the police. And it turned out then to be a cut in the proposed police budget by $33 million, and I did not vote for that. She did. But I did
major in a city that's seeing this much uptake in crime. I had someone call me on the phone once and ask me, was I for the defund the police? I told them never to call me again. You know, that's the first line of defense that we call when we're in trouble, whether we like it or not, and we need to support them, you know, and help them do their job. So also with Parker, there's some other real differences. And a very hot topic right now is the stop and frisk. And I know that you have a flyer out, looks really nice picture of you. And right here it says heroin injection sites. I'm starting at the top. It says David O. says no, we're not sure what Sherelle Parker's stance is on that. Then it goes down to the minimum force police training. Go ahead, David. I'm sorry. I was going to read them all off.
So since that draft, she did come out in the press saying she was opposed to heroin injection sites.
I thought so,
And I led the fight against heroin injection sites back when they were popular. I introduced a bill, and this is for that very short time that the federal court said they were legal, and suddenly the city opened a heroin injection site in South Philadelphia. And I introduced a counter bill which said that basically you cannot put they're illegal. You cannot put a heroin injection site into someone's neighborhood without 80% of the neighborhood agreeing. And that's what I did. She did not do those type of things. It was very unclear. But now she says she's against them, and I agree with her, and I'm against them, so that's good. So when we get to things like stop and frisk, she has stated she's bringing back what she calls constitutional stop and frisk. I understand constitutional stop and frisk. It arises under certain circumstances, but you cannot instruct the police to go out and stop and frisk people because those circumstances are not present and you cannot manufacture them. When the mayor and when the commissioner are instructed by the mayor to send police out to do that, we're instructing the police to violate people's constitutional and civil rights. And from that point, what happens is we have police that are breaking the law. The mayor should never have the police break the law. The police should never violate people's rights. That's why people are suspicious or resistant to the police, and unless the police are upholding the law, upholding everyone's constitutional rights, we cannot actually develop a public safety plan that will work and be sustainable, you know, in this city. One of the things in relation to that, especially after the George Floyd murder and the shooting of Walter Wallace Jr., is I introduced a resolution for minimum force police training, mandatory training that would occur every year. It's not just something that you get in the police academy and then 10 years later you don't remember. It's an annual thing where police learn how to use no force or minimum force. And people may think that that just comes naturally to police officers. It does not. You take a person, you train them to shoot a person, you train them to use maximum force. And so when they enter into a situation and they're nervous, they're frightened, their adrenaline is pumping, you know, physiologically, the body exaggerates danger. That's how we're kept safe.
Yes.
And so the police need training to not shoot or kill or hurt people. And if they have to confront or even combat people, to use the least amount of force or no force at all.
Or de-escalation. You're absolutely right.
Yes.
When your body detects danger, it goes to a flight or fight. And so
yes.
A lot of times the training you have gets overridden by instinct to survive. So
yeah.
You're absolutely right about that. But now with I understand what you're saying, and that's wonderful that you stood your ground on you're not for this stop and frisk. I took the
yes.
time to ask males and even black males and black male cops. And I had cops even say, no, this is not cool. But with that not
right.
being cool, because I was first saying, you know, I think that they should bring back anything possible to give the police an edge, because we have so much violence and gun violence going on and carjacking and stuff. But now what, being that you are, you know, in, you used to be in law and all this other stuff and you have all this experience, how would you go about handling or trying to combat or fight the gun violence and the amount of guns on the street and being able to detect a gun on somebody, particularly with these ghost guns and these plastic guns? So how would you or what would you implement that would make it maybe be able to help the police do their job better or detect these types of weapons? Because we are, you know, we're losing the war and we're burying too many kids. And I've talked to parents that haven't lost any kids and they talk one way. And I've talked to parents who have lost a child or a child has been shot. And when they go through that second part of losing a child or a child being injured, their opinion changes quite differently over to the side where I don't care what you do, just get these people off the street. So what would you do or implement that would help the police but definitely wouldn't violate anybody's constitutional rights, if there's anything to do at all? Because it's like, it's really hard to do, you know?
Yeah, there are things we can do. First of all, one of the biggest problems we have is the policy of not arresting, the policy of not enforcing certain crimes, the policy of not prosecuting illegal weapons, the policy of allowing people to violate the law in all sorts of ways and to excuse what they're doing, such as looting or such as, you know, carrying weapons on public transportation or selling drugs or purchasing drugs or riding ATVs and dirt bikes, you know, a horde of riders. All of these things are in violation of law and they lead to other problems. So the first thing about ending the violence, stopping gun violence and murder, is it doesn't occur all over the city. It generates in certain neighborhoods and communities, and we can identify those. And in those neighborhoods, people are afraid to come out of their house. They're afraid when their children go out. They do want, for the most part, not every neighborhood, but overwhelmingly, these neighborhoods want police. But they want to ensure that the police are acting lawfully and properly so that when the police come in to protect the neighborhood, there isn't a kind of unintentional or even intentional act where someone is innocent, is hurt because of you know, the failure to police properly. And so
okay.
in doing this, we want to better train the police, and we make sure that nobody in a neighborhood is afraid of the police, that the police being with restraint and with intelligence. Then we're going to target
okay.
two groups of people that are the prime movers of this this violence that we see. One are young people who are telegraphing what they're going to do, why they're going to do it, because they've been insulted and their esteem has been hurt, you know, with social media amplification of insults. And we know who they are. People in the community
okay.
know who's in
David,
the,
hold
the ground
thought
fort.
Right there, please.
Mm-hmm.
I want to just give me a minute and hold that thought, because then we're going to go to the DHS and the fighting illegal
sure.
property taxes. But right after we get this track by DJ legend Dr. Ngozi, after that finishing statement. Thank you. Go, Dr. O. David O, and we have the first caller. So welcome, caller.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah. Hello.
We have caller number one.
Good evening. This is Ms. Genesis Amaris Camp. I'm also a host here on WBNN. I was calling in to support your show tonight and to chime in on tonight's discussion with your first guest.
Thank you very much.
How are you?
Go right ahead.
So I definitely think this is a very important topic. I'm not going to have that much to say from a state perspective since I don't live in Philadelphia, but based on what I've heard so far with, you know, police taking ownership, training the police, also the gun violence that has occurred not just in Philadelphia but around the country and, you know, the world with all the, you know, the amount of crime that has gone up because some of the guns, let's be honest, are in the hands of the wrong individuals and some of the guns on the street are military weapons. And how does an individual without military training get their hands on something like that? So I think this topic tonight is very important to talk about it, but I did have a question for your guest.
Because I know
he's running for office. So whenever you think about your campaign and running for mayor, yes, you're going to have a current campaign before you get elected in office, but if you do get elected in office, how do you ensure that your campaign remains true while you're in your office and your visions do not get watered down because the people who put you in office as well as the ones who are also around you in office don't taint your vision or your vision does not get stale? How do you keep the momentum going so people who do go out to the polls will see that, you know, their voice really matters and they elected you for a reason and they expect you to follow suit?
Yeah, that's a good question, you know, and it's something that a lot of people, you know, they worry about. In other words, it's so easy to say things, right? You can say whatever you want, but how do we know you really mean it? So the first thing I'd say is you can look at each candidate's history. Have they waffled?
Mm-hmm.
Have they said contradictory things? Did they do things quite the opposite? And so, you know, I am very consistent. I started my career doing free legal services. I and that was in law school. And when I got my first job, I went to the Philadelphia District Attorney's Office and served as an assistant district attorney. And then I resigned to join the U.S. military. I served there for a while, came back, and have been involved in the community. I was on the board of Hahnemann University, the board of Nazareth Hospital, Nazareth Academy, you know, places like Walnut Street Theater, WYBE Public Television, the Tribune Charities, and other entities. And the reason I did that is because as an attorney, I felt I could contribute to a lot of these nonprofits just by volunteering and helping out. So I ran for office mainly because I was concerned about where the jobs in other words, the economy, and there weren't jobs for people, especially people without a college degree or people who did not complete high school. The other thing was the education system, how to improve public education and to include a vocational and career training in the schools and to make them equitable so everyone had a fair opportunity.
Yeah.
That's how I entered into, you know, serving in the city council, and there I was very much an advocate for public safety, and I believe public safety is for everyone. And also, I spent a lot of time with victims of crime. And so when it was unpopular, I did resolutions or amendments to withhold funding to SEPTA if SEPTA did not provide police for people when a lot of crimes were happening on SEPTA platforms and on their transportation systems. I did a resolution that created a first responders appreciation day where we specifically went to many troubled neighborhoods to establish a relationship between particularly the police and people in the community to try to introduce them to each other. And I have been supportive of law enforcement, but I've also tried to do criminal justice reform, and I've even advocated for a person who was doing life in prison, though the evidence showed that there was no evidence that this person was guilty, and he ultimately was released from prison. So while I do advocate for returning to a full roster of officers. We are short 1,300 police officers, which means sometimes when you call for the police, if someone even answers 911, there may be only two patrol cars in the entire district. So we have to go back to a full roster. And then while we're going back to a full roster, we have to address the problems that that citizens face when there are unnecessary shootings, where there is irresponsible actions or even discriminatory conduct or words said by our police officers. We have to address those things, and how are we going to do that? So when I become mayor, you know, you can look at a history of what I've done when it was not popular, what I've done when it was difficult, and why I'm running. In other words, I've fought DHS. They do good things, but they also remove children wrongfully, particularly from African-American families. And we remove children from families in Philadelphia at the highest rate of any big city in the nation, three times higher than New York City, four times higher than Chicago. And we have all kinds of evidence of the fact that children are abused and harmed and that they are removed without good cause. You know, I fought against the property taxes. I introduced those bills because the assessments are below industry standard, and we know that because we did an audit. So I brought a bill to reject any of these overtaxed assessments and to put a halt to the assessment process, which is the methodology, until it was corrected. And there's a number of bills. There's only two bills that were introduced on reform and school governance, and both of them are my bills. So when I get into the mayor's office, first of all, I'm a reformer. I come from outside of city government, and I will be cleaning house. And so I'm not looking to be popular when I come into city government as the mayor. I'm looking to reform the government to make it responsive to the people.
David, may I interject?
Yes.
That you said, that's wonderful. So it sounds like the shorter answer to this would be you have so much experience and such a great track record of doing exactly what you say you're going to do, regardless of whether someone's standing with you or not, that tells the listeners and the voters out there, you're not someone that's just going to say something to get our vote. You're actually going to follow through. And the proof is in the facts. So I am going to make sure that the literature that I have right here on you that literally stated all these wonderful organizations you've helped and experienced that matters, I'm going to take a picture of that and post it on my Facebook page. So any listeners out there, because you know we have people all across the United States and the world listening to us tonight, and the issues that we talk about tonight are the same issues that affect other big cities across the nation. So if we can come up with answers, those answers can be used someplace else. So I'm going to take a picture of the literature that I have in front of me, and I'm going to make sure I post it on my Facebook page, Wanda Walker, for anyone that doesn't have it so that they can read it for themselves and see the facts. These aren't things that we're making up. You're not saying it as a campaign slogan. You're saying I'm the right person and the best person for the job because, after all, shows that I will always do right by you all. Can you give us some information? Because you covered the DHS. We are number one in family-child separation in all of the United States. We're the number one poorest big city. We have a medium income of $35,000. And that is like second, I think Baltimore, D.C. is low, just a little bit of hair lower than we are. So you can understand with poverty comes so many other problems like crime. So how would you, one of the real hot button issues that have been for this whole month is PPA and the aggressive way they've been ticketing. I talked to a PPA person today or a retired person. And that person, she explained to me a lot of things about PPA, the ticketing and everything like that. But most of all, how much money, do we even know how much money they're bringing in? And this money is coming from Philadelphia. So how much money that they bring in or generate do we even see in Philadelphia? Can you give us any answers on that? David, and tell us how you voted for it versus Sherelle Parker. Thank you.
Yeah, so PPA is very opaque, and part of it is because once they were seized, and I said illegally seized under the Pennsylvania Constitution, the state seized the parking authority. The reason they gave was to fund our public schools, which they have not done. And once they got control of the parking authority, they began to create separate funds. In other words, in addition to on-street parking, they started to do like speed cameras, red light cameras, other things, and that money went into a separate fund. So the money that is collected by the parking authority goes to Harrisburg, and from Harrisburg they distribute the money, sometimes to Philadelphia or a certain portion to Philadelphia, but how much is collected in total, we don't know. And so when I'm asked to increase taxes, I say, well, how about we get the money from the parking authority that we're supposed to get $35 million or more to fund the schools every year? And so because that's not done, I introduced a resolution to audit the parking authority, and it was quickly defeated. And then I introduced another – what's that?
Who defeated it or voted against it? Who stood up and literally – was not for having the parking authority audit, particularly from my understanding, after it was found money was going places from Philly where it wasn't supposed to go. And that one contract that you talked about, a portion of PPA that's just the off-street parking, if we had gotten that back, how much money would it put back into the Philadelphia budget for our schools? And who were the people who stood up for us not to get it back?
Yes.
We did not get that money.
Right. So probably there's about $50 million a year that the parking authority could contribute to our schools. And so I did a bill to take back local control of the parking authority in order to get a transparency, know how much money, and to direct the funds to the schools. My bill was defeated, and Councilmember Parker voted against the bill to get local control, and most council people did. And I think the important thing is because there is a political machine, and it benefits from the jobs and the contracts and the money of the parking authority. And so politically, they don't want to disrupt the status quo. And that is one of the biggest problems in our city. We have to get rid of this collusion so that we can get to good government. Yeah.
So did anybody stand with you, David, or fight to
get this
back in?
Yeah, there were some, and honestly, I can't remember because, the way the votes go on council, sometimes they're with you and sometimes they're not.
Okay.
But I didn't have many people. But I did not have many people supporting, these bills.
Is there any reason why a city council person, particularly a black or brown one, how bad the schools are and how behind our children are, would actually vote down and stop Philadelphia for regaining that contract or that portion of the off-street parking, which, from my understanding, would have put $254 million back into our budget, our budget for the number one poor city?
Yeah, I don't think it would have been that high. I think, that's the total expense of the parking authority, and its budget is too fat because, the more they spend internally, the less they have left over to give to the schools or to the city. But I'm pretty sure, based on my calculations, that after all the expenses that they take care of, that there's still $50 million a year to be given to the schools. But, again, when there is a political establishment, a political machine, if you will, then there's a team of people that keep that machine functioning. And I think that's one of the problems. That's what people are sick and tired of. They want change. They believe that our city is there's too much pay to play, too much collusion,
yes.
too, about the party rather than the people.
Yeah. David, you know what I would like to see done when you get in office? I would like to see, because I actually tried to, because so many things have happened since COVID, during COVID, and thereafter, and I see so many people struggling more now than ever before. And I actually took the time to say, you know, I really want to be an voter. I want someone to know in my gut and in my mind that I'm making the right choice, not just for me, but for the community, my family, and the whole city. But when I went to try to look up the ordinances and the bills that were passed, I couldn't really figure it out. It's very it's very hard to do. And you, yes, you have a right to know, and no one's in that office, and they send you back and forth. I've gone down there a couple of times right after the mayoral primary with two different friends, and they gave them the runaround. Like they, and the office was closed 3, 4, 5 days after the primary election was over. Is there any way to maybe have a website or a way to categorize these ordinances and bills in such a way that it at least starts with anything pertaining to parking or car, then give the numbers? Because you actually have to know the number and everything else to look up something. And how am I going to know the number if I don't even remember when it was done and I'm looking back to try to find information? So I wanted to know who voted yes and who voted no against PPA. I really couldn't figure it out. So I had to talk to someone, you know, in politics and have them tell me and rely on their memory, because you can't really get the information from that office. And a lot of other people, I think, are starting to get frustrated. 70 years of Democratic rule in Philadelphia, and we're on the very bottom. It's no way in the world you have 42-47% black and brown people in Philadelphia, and the numbers might go up or down or whatever, and you might know them better than me, but you have 68% of city council black and brown. It's dropped to 58% since the primary, but we're still overrepresented, and yet we're on the bottom. That's my problem, and each of us have different types of problems. And when I'm looking at the different things that are done, I'm like, how in the world do I keep, and do we in my community keep voting people in that look like us, thinking without researching that they're definitely going to do right by us? So we really have to look for the strings. We have to look for the puppet master. We have to look for the facts. And we have to re-educate ourselves in this whole process. It's the platform that counts, not the the political party, you know, because you have good and bad in both. And so I really want to be a person who brings on people like you that I know are really doing the work and are honest and trustworthy, so that other people know just how hard you fight for us. And I coined you the blackest councilman in city council, and you really fight for us, but you fight for everybody, not just for black people. You fight for the underdogs. You fight, you always fight for the middle class and the underprivileged and the lower class, and I don't want to use that word lower class, because sometimes people are there just because financially they're not making a lot doesn't mean that, you know, integrity isn't there and they're not a good person. But you fight for everybody, and I want to educate, and I'm learning as I go, David, so that's why I wanted you on tonight, because see how you corrected me in the very beginning? You're like, no, we're the second on the East Coast, but sixth in all of the United States. I'm going around saying we're the second in the United States, so thank you very much. And, yes, you might not have, like, catchy jingles and stuff, but you're speaking facts, and that's what people need to hear, not just the smoke in the mirror and the colors and the balloons and the you know, paper mache falling out of the sky or what have you. We need to know who we need to put in office, because a couple of you all are qualified, but when it comes down to the life of your child and your community, you want to pick the best, and you want to pick the person that has the track record that's proven. They're not going to switch up, and I truly believe that that would be you. I really can't say, and I don't want to disrespect Sherelle Parker. She's beautiful. She's black. She's brilliant. But I'm looking at track records and voting records, and that's what I have to go by, because
I see way too many people that look like me in position, and then when it comes time to really protect and stand up, it's not being done. And for whatever reason, you know, so I want people to understand it's very important to vote for the people that are going to best represent us and won't back down and can't sleep at night unless they do the right thing. I yield the floor back to you, David.
I think you raised very important points. First of all, it is very difficult, but yes, there is a record of what council people do. In other words, but it's difficult. There's a website called Legistar, and in Legistar, but again, you have to know the bills or the date or something. You can look up and see how each council person voted. And so there is a record of that. For example, the resolution to have mandatory minimum force training, it says who voted. Well, that might be a yay or nay vote, but, you know, the yays and nays are they're counted.
I have
a
track coming up next by international DJ legend Dr. Ngozi.
Yep.
So hold that thought. Okay. Thank you very much.
Yes. All right.
Live my life, and now you wanna come back, but I don't need no brand new life.
we have caller number two, David.
All
caller
right.
Number two.
Sounds good.
Caller number two. Caller number two, going once.
Hello.
Going twice, three times the lady.
Oh, yes,
all right, all right, here we go.
Right there.
Hold on, hold,
okay.
Hold on 1 second. Let's try to bring her back on.
Okay.
All right, here she goes.
Caller number two, ask your question. We
have
a lot of
questions on the line. Yolanda. Hi, I have a few questions. I wanted to discuss the subject topic where David was mentioning, and good afternoon to you, Mr. O, about the, you know, having a rapport within the community. There's a few people that I know that actually went out to for the positions for officer, and good community people, well known in the community, are has a rapport within their community, and I know that it's not policy for one to work within their community, but it's my understanding that a few of them didn't, they, although they met all the qualification, I guess there's a qualification as far as what the credit threshold is for open accounts, owed like $4,000 or so forth, from my understanding. And at this given point, with what's going on, if we want to have a rapport with individuals in our community, being that we are a poor city, there are very few and far in between that don't have like debt on their credit report. So if in fact this is true, how do we address that? Because that's the first time I've ever heard that. As far as I, to my knowledge, that's the only city position. I understand the CEOs are not held to that same standard as well. And the young lady that called in earlier who asked you the question as far as what your credibility and so forth would be in the city, the difference, as a passionate advocate in my community and what's going on, I would like to say to her, you know, Philly, she's not from Philly. Philly is our struggling. We're upset. People are totally frustrated. And as Wanda has stated, we have been under the Democratic rulership for so long. And Mr. O, from what I understand, I personally can vouch because my fight is DHS, that you stand up for DHS and so forth. And just being out in the community, excuse me, being out in the community, a lot of people know you, speak strong. It was told to me, and you can correct me if that's a fact, prior to you running for office, a toll was basically given to this by the city or through the city, and you came up as one of the most popular or most liked based on your track record. That's my interpretation, what I was told. So if I was wrong, please correct me on that as well. And also, as far as the young lady that also mentioned that, and Wanda mentioned, we are one of the, I was saying seventh poorest city in the United States. And unfortunately for Philadelphia, which is where I'm passionate in my community, Philly is trained, unfortunately, to vote Democrat. I'm out here, and I say it loud and I say it proud. I am a David O. supporter. I'm in these streets. I speak to individuals, and you know, they are the same people who tell me I'm frustrated and I want to change. And I'm like, there are a few where I say, who are you voting for? I'm voting for Ms. Parker, and no disrespect to Ms. Parker. And then they'll look at me as a black individual and like, why are you voting? Really? And I go, yes, but I can give several or 15 facts or give accurate, you know, accounts of people I know that have assisted. Me, myself, I have been the city council. During the primaries, I was there every Thursday, and I let the city council know I'm very disappointed because most of the people that were currently were currently sitting in the seats and are currently sitting in the seats, they're making six figures. And as Wanda said, you know, that the median in our city is $35,000 to $40,000. How are you making that much money in with there such a poverty gap in our city? And most city council representatives, when people call them, no one answers. And one thing I must commend you about, Mr. O, and I stand that because when I'm in the streets, people know you because you are known for one of the very few, or maybe one of two, that people can attest, and I don't care where they are in the city, they're like, listen, this person took the time out, they returned the call. So kudos to you, because for someone who's in these streets, and I go to my city council, I go to my state reps, you are known to actually care, call back, and look into what the problem is. So I wanted to say that to the young lady.
Yolanda? Let me interject. Mm-hmm. I think you, your question was, you knew people that applied or were going through the process of trying to become a cop, and it was
correct.
Their credit or credit debt or what have you that held them back. And David said earlier, we are like 1,300 cops down. So is there way maybe to make some type of concession or special rule or reg for good people to pass everything else? Maybe their credit is bad. And so after they get hired, you give them still an extra year while on probation because of this to then fix their credit so that you can get these types of good individuals on the force because we're in need of so many cops. And I think that's what you were saying, David. So does that sound like something that would be doable, or is that even in your power to do as the mayor? I give the floor back to you.
Yeah, so I believe it is in the mayor's power one way or the other. In other words, the mayor can, kind of suspend certain types of rules when we have or regulations when we have an emergency need. And I would say 1,300 officers short is an emergency need when we have so much violence and crime going on. So much that people are arming themselves. And so when we have good people who, you know, look, it's not a mystery in this city. We have a lot of poverty. We have poor education in many of our neighborhoods. People make mistakes one way or the other. Sometimes they make a mistake and they end up in jail. Other times, you know, it's very difficult and they're getting by. They're not making mistakes, but life is tough and they're going to fall behind in your credit. And I don't think that, you know, falling behind in your credit or anything like that should prevent you from providing a public service. We're going to have to be aware to make sure that people aren't under financial pressure given a position of authority. But again, we have many people who, you know, even if they're wealthy, they're behind in their payments and things like that. So to answer your question, yes, I want to get as many good people as possible. As long as we're upfront, understand what the financial issues are, we can basically hire people, train them, and simultaneously repair their credit. I think we can do that, and we can be.
Yes.
Once they get a paycheck, they'll be much better off.
Exactly. It's like if your credit's bad, it's probably because you don't have a good paying job. So let a good person get a good paying job so that they can correct their credit. And that's a no-brainer, and that would probably entice more people to join, because when I talked to my friend and they explained to me that they passed all the tests with flying colors, the only thing holding them back was $4,000 worth of bad credit or stuff they had to pay, and they didn't have the $4,000, you know. So now Philly is out of this good cop, or this good person who wanted to be a cop. Can we talk about illegal property taxes? Can you explain that?
One second, Wanda. We got a lot of callers on. And first of all, I want to talk to David. David, first of all, you're my man. I'm Republican, and this is Dr. O. And definitely, I'm going to be voting for you. Vote, period. I don't like the practices of Ms. Parker. And I don't vote against, you know, my party. So that's how that is. And people can, you know, kiss my posterior in that way. Anyway, let's bring on the next caller. And then we'll bring on another caller, too. So, caller, you're live right now with Wanda Walker. She's definitely the talker, y'all.
Mm-hmm. And Yolanda.
Yes, she is definitely the talker. Hey, everybody. This is Dr. Chinchilla Jonesia, the commissioner of WBNN, a.k.a. the Queen of Justice. And I'm enjoying the show tonight. And Wanda, I really like the questions that you have been asking, David. Your questions are very good. And, David, I love all your answers. You know, you answer it with compassion and with honesty. And I like you. And I definitely have been supporting you for a while. And I've been telling everybody to vote for you, okay? Because as Dr. Ojas said, you know, he doesn't like Sherelle Parker. You know, I don't like her practices. I don't like her as far as what she does in state, in the government, okay, as a state rep. And when she was on city council, you know, I think that for the city of Philadelphia to elect our 100th mayor, it has to be done like really everybody listening tonight. You really have to think through, okay? Think it through. Don't be so fast and gung-ho to vote for Sherelle Parker, because she's a black woman, okay? First of all, you know, so many of you, oh, she's black and she's a woman, and you're all excited about that. But you have to look at her track record. You have to look at what she stands for. And as I always say, when we vote, it cannot be based on the color of skin, okay? Because someone is the same race that you are. That's not the way to vote. And I also say that you cannot vote for someone just because they are your same political party. If you're a Democrat, if you're a Republican, guess what? You should never, ever go and vote straight Democrat or straight Republican, ever.
Amen.
Especially, you know, like during the general election, because you can vote either way during the general election. So you need to vote for the person who's going to be the best suitable person for that position. And for our 100th mayor, David O is that person. Sherelle Parker is not. Sherelle Parker does not care about the gun violence that's going on in the city. David O does. Okay, he's been out to Operation Hug the Block. He was at the church that I was at on Broad Street a few weeks ago for a community safety event. And, you know, so he goes into communities. He will go into any neighborhood. Sherelle Parker won't. She stays in her comfort zone. So we do not need a mayor that's going to stay in their comfort zone. Okay? David O gets out on the street. He's a boots on the ground person. So, you know, I really like what you've done. Yes.
Dr. Chinchilla,
what'd you say,
can you tell the listeners, can you tell the listeners out there how you feel about, as a black woman and your doctor, how do you feel about another person that wants your vote not taking the time to come speak to you or answer any questions? It just blows my mind that after everything we've gone through with Kenny, you know, and I understand things got really bad and he checked out. But if you recall back when he was running both times during the mayoral or the candidate mayoral race during the primary, the minute he won that, he disappeared and nobody saw him. And now when we see someone like Parker, we're thinking, hey, she's black, she's beautiful, she's a woman. She's definitely going to relate to us and she's going to respect us. To see someone in that position, knowing some of the things that we go through, and she has to relate. She came up from Mount Airy, didn't grow up as hard as I did in West Philly, but nevertheless, you're supposed to be relatable. But after so many years and being in politics, is she really relatable, or has she forgotten where she came from, you know, and the people that wanted just, you know, people are just willing to vote for her, like you said, because she's a black woman, and they just want the comfort of knowing that at least she'll talk to them or listen to them, and she's not coming out. I'm trying to think, if I had 7-1, I don't think I would be thinking, heck, I'm going to come out and talk, and even if I did wrong, maybe I'll apologize, but I'm still going to have the upper hand. By doing this type of no-show, we can't talk to anybody, soft interviews on Word Radio where Solomon, her neighbor, interviews her, and it's the same stuff we heard in April and May, that doesn't work for me. And I, like I said, no disrespect. I think she's beautiful and brilliant, and she has some experience, but her track record shows
that she's not the best person for my family values and my community to be saved. So, and not talking
right.
to me, just that just screams disrespect. How do you feel about that? Have you
well,
tried to get her on your
I've,
show?
Yeah, I tried to get her even, you know, during the primaries. And so,
okay.
like, they're very standoffish. They're very standoffish, and they pick and choose. Okay, she's going to go on a show that she know everybody loves her and that there won't be any questions that will be like, oh, wow, I can't answer that when I don't know, you know. So, no, she goes where she's comfortable. She stays in communities where she's comfortable, okay? And so, to me, a person like that I would never get my vote, okay? Because as a candidate, especially running for mayor, that means that you're running for the entire city, okay? So to be the mayor, you have to be comfortable with going into North Philly, South Philly, West Philly, Southwest Philly, Germantown, not just staying in Mount Airy. You have to go throughout
yeah.
the city of Philadelphia. And for her to not do that and for her to not answer or respond to different people I'm affiliated with the different forums that we've had and, you know, people that wanted to talk to her, she has not responded to anybody. Okay, so, no. I mean, that's not cool. Mm-hmm. And for
would
people
you,
to think that just because she's black, and she's a woman, that she's going to understand. No, she's not, people, okay? She may have black skin, but underneath, she's something totally different, okay? So that's my spiel on that.
Would you buy a car without driving it first, Dr. Chinchilla?
No, I would not. I would have
no,
to test
so
drive it.
Why would any politician or candidate think that we should vote for them first and then wait to hear how they respond or how they're going to proceed with major issues? Doesn't make sense to me. And I'm like, do you take us for
yeah.
granted that much? That is really mine. And here's David O. showing up for anything, everything. And I was
right,
talking
exactly.
to someone earlier today. I hope Nadir is out there listening because she's running for the seventh, Daryl Clark position, and she's going to be a write-in, Nadira Griffin. And we were saying
District 5. District 5.
District 5. Thank you for correcting me. I'm glad I had these smart people on the line because I'm tired. But I'm going to hang in there. It's like we were saying, like, this is just mind-blowing to take this approach when you have so much that sort of like you're just taking for granted. It just screams, I don't really respect you all. I don't have to answer to you. I don't have to qualify. I know that my beautiful black skin is going to get me in this majority black city, even though these kids are dropping like flies. We don't have jobs, and we have gentrification all over. You know, this is just crazy.
Yeah.
I can't. And
right.
I don't want to say anything bad because I would like maybe for her to come on any show. I'm not going to, it doesn't have to be mine, but if it was mine, I would literally give her the questions ahead of time so she could feel comfortable. And I'm willing to guess that she still won't come. Because even if I give you the questions ahead of time, the facts are the facts. And what I'm down to right now is I want to talk about your voting record, your history, your community activities, things outside of Bob Brady. And the
right.
people that put her in position, you know. And this is just something like you have to earn our respect and our vote. I hate the book
exactly.
bags and the chicken and stuff where they think they don't have to talk to us and they can drop off chicken and turkey and book bags. No, talk to me. That's why I had Vega come talk at my daycare when Krasner didn't show up. And he called me up. A cop told me, he said, Vega, come speak. And he called me. I said, yes, you're welcome. Everybody's welcome. How can you choose if you haven't heard everybody? And if I have someone that takes
right.
for granted Germantown and they were supposed to come and don't show up, then yes. And even if Krasner showed up, Vega was still welcome. Because you have to hear everybody to understand who's the best person. We can't keep being followers. And we can't keep doing politics as usual and thinking that we're going to get changed. We have to change. We just one time, people, can we please, can we vote the facts, not our feelings? Can we vote character, not color? Your sex doesn't matter, who they're sleeping with, the gender, none of that. That should be the least of your concern. It's the track record that you can look up and you can find out. It's their community bio. It's how many times you see them during COVID. You know, we're really trying to make a difference.
Hey, Wanda.
And that's
Wanda, that's why that's, hey, Wanda, that's why we call this show The Talker. You can go on and on and on. We got some callers.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, David, oh, if David, oh, if her talking, hold on, if her talking can get you, hold on, Wanda. If her talking can get you in office, just her angst and her positivity and just go on and on, you'll win by a landslide. Caller number 4, you're live right now with The Talker.
I think there's a compliment in there someplace. All right, caller number 4, is it? Are we up to 4? Hello?
Yeah, it's Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers. Represent from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia, where the kids had, they had marijuana weed treats in their Halloween bag, you know what I'm saying, on Broad and Susquehanna across from Ground Chicken. What's good?
Yes. Thank you so much for calling and supporting. What do you have to say about any of these issues and what we're talking about tonight?
Well, if I may, and shout out to the guest tonight, of course, you know what I'm saying? You know, what I wanted to say is, what's more importantly, is a point that was pointed out about these a few hundreds of police that's missing here. Because the ones that we got, you know what I mean, unfortunately don't know whether or not they fighting crime or doing crime. You dig it? Being as though, because here's the thing. Everybody's idea of being a police officer is jumping over the hood of the car with their gun out. You see what I'm saying? Like on television. Where what happened to the cops that schooled the police? The schools. I mean, you know what I'm saying? The schools or you know, the school zones and things like that. We they don't want to become beat cops. Every cop wanna have a car and they wanna be training day. You know what I'm saying? That's the idea of these cops these days. But you're forcing them by default, cops that's not built mentally and emotionally for those type of wars on the streets. That unfortunately they have to go to these things where these could be the cops being in the school zones, being the beat cops, being on foot, patrolling the avenues, patrolling the street corners, patrolling, being extra lines of securities in places where you have to hire securities, unfit people, again, who still have to call the law. You know what I'm saying? So where if you put the law where in places where we need more policing instead of having cops running around drag racing up and down Broad Street, shining lights every damn where, you know what I'm saying, like it's Roscoe B. Coltrane chasing Dukes of Hazzard out here. You feel what I'm saying? Chasing no one, by the way. Chasing no one. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I would say that we force these officers to take a little bit more beat cop roles opposed to putting them in the squad car where they pulling up, not knowing whether to give someone directions or shoot at them. You see what I'm saying? They mixed up because you're putting them in the cop car with a gun.
Yeah.
Put them in the lobbies of the hotels. Put them in front of the schools. Put them in front of the churches and all that. You know what I'm saying? Y'all have these, you know, make more reasons to have police. And you know what I'm saying?
We have to get more police to then be able to place them. And right now, David O said we're 1,300 down.
I'm giving you the reason why.
I'm giving you the reason why. Okay, yes. those might be some of the reasons, but there are many good cops. There's many more good cops out, and we are so short. That's why you're not seeing them.
So that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Put the good cops where good cops belong, in front of the schools. And if you got these hot shot cops who want to jump over the cars and shit and all that, you put them in the line of fire. That way, it's not We're not mixing innocent cops, good cops up with bad cops. All the bad cops, let them fight the criminals. You put all the good cops where they belong. That way it's more places for the, it's more reason to allow people in the academy.
Let's chime in with David and hear his answer or solution to it. Because 1,300 down is a hard number.
Yeah, so I do understand what you're saying. So what I would call and what many people would call community policing is what you're talking about. That is police who know the community because, as you said, they're on foot, they're on bicycle, they're meeting the community. They know that you're the resident. They treat you with respect because you're the resident. They know you're the shop owner. They know you're the guy that cuts hair at the barbershop. They know who you are. And they go to meetings, and because they're engaged face-to-face with the community, their anxiety level is way down. They're not feeling like they're surrounded by the enemy. They got to know who is in. So we're going to put them back. So, and because we're going to do that, I can recruit 1,300 police officers. The police are leaving their jobs, and they don't want to come work for Philadelphia where they feel like they're not supported, they're the enemy, they're going to be fired, they're going to be prosecuted. But when we have good people who want to be that person you just described, the friendly person outside the school, taking care of the kids, saying hello to the moms and dads, walking down, you know, to the commercial quarter, you know, talking with the kids at the basketball court, when they're that person who shows up when you call 911, good morning, sir, good evening, ma'am, what can I do for you, how can I help you, and they are not jumping over hoods of cars with guns blazing because that's not actually their job. Now, we will have those people risk their lives, do all that stuff, but they will do it with training and restraint and with intelligence. And that's why we can have a better police force. And everything that you're talking about, the expectation of our citizens that whether they're rich or poor, no matter what part of the city they live in, they're going to have someone who's a public servant, who's proud to serve, who's going to be someone we're proud of because they exercise restraint, they know the law, they don't violate your rights, and you can school them too. And when we see police officers who shouldn't be police officers, when you start telling them things, they get uptight, they want to pull their gun out, they want to lord over you, that's wrong. The same way our politicians are wrong. You should be able to talk to me, school me, criticize me. We may disagree, or I may agree. I may say, you know what, you made a lot of good points here. I'm going to go back to the drawing board. I'm going to take some of the things you said because you're talking to me from experience. And maybe some experiences I don't have, and I want to hear what you're saying because you're the citizen. And that's why I do go out to communities. That's why I do want to do debates. That's why I go out to forums. And listen, a lot of times when I go out, I'm on a listening thing because, yeah, I'm there to tell them. I'm not unknowledgeable, but many times the community wants to tell me. They're dying to tell someone what's going on in their community, what's the problem. Nobody came out to listen, and they just say, listen, could you come here with two ears and just hear what we're talking about? And when you've digested everything, we're going to ask you how you can help. And I think, you know, if our police department was that kind of police department, our police would be happy, they'd be proud, they'd have a lot of morale, high morale, and our community would be proud of our police. So I'm going to do that.
All right, so one thing I want to stab out. Let me just stab out with this real quick. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to stab out with this. Because all I'm going to say is this. If somebody don't tell these police officers or something, you know what I mean, there's going to be a lot of Charles Bronson stuff going on, you know what I mean, where they get hurt, you put them in danger. You know what I'm saying? So if you want safety on both ends of the spectrum, you know what I'm saying, that's who we need in there telling the police what to do. You know what I'm saying? I'm Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, represent from the Broad Street Bully Shot of Philadelphia, where your grandkids thought Creflo Dollar was Martin Luther King Jr. Check your satellites.
Well, you heard what he said. Right. That's crazy. Okay, that's crazy. Now, of course, I got Wanda in remote right there. So we're going to bring on these callers because Wanda is the talker, and that's what she does. So I'm going to bring on another caller, and the caller, Wanda can hear you. Okay, I'm going to bring Wanda back on. So Wanda, well, we are not doing, Dave,
hey,
what we're doing this show.
Hall of Fame, can you hear me?
Yeah, hold on a second. Dave, what we do in this show, we are not going past 11:30. Wanda, look at your teleprompter, please. All right, I'm going. Look at your teleprompter, please. All right.
Yes, sir. I'm like really into this. But, yes, okay, let's go to caller number five. Hello,
okay, let me be clear
five.
About something. Yes, let me be clear about something. My name is Huni Bakatu, also known as Master Tar Magic Man Haru. Politics, just like everything else, has not benefited us. It has not worked for us as a people. As Native American or African American or all the different things in which we call, hear me clearly, we don't need more cops. They need more cops. We need to be able to police ourselves and each other. Because obviously that the way that things has been going when it comes to police brutality, no accountability whatsoever. I don't care about who's liked. I don't care about who's, you know, getting votes because they're liked and they're saying things that we like. Bottom line is our people is hurting. We are dying in these streets. Yeah, you got a lot of people look like us is killing ourselves. Yeah, we've been doing that since the beginning, right? But the fact of the matter, over here in America, the life of a person of color means nothing. So until, in regards to whatever your gender is, in regards to whatever your political affiliation is, we need to hold people accountable for their actions. And I also will put on record that a black cop has been known to beat you worse than a white cop. So I'm not playing that color game. And my last thing I want to say about that good cop, bad cop thing, show me in any time where the – tell me why is it that the bad cop always get to the scene of the crime before the good cop? And when the crime happens, when the so-called good cop comes, how come he don't arrest the so-called bad cop? So I'm not playing that game. I'm not playing those games. We need to police ourselves and each other. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well,
thank you
for your
comment.
Support. Yeah, if I could just address that a little bit, because I know he's making a point. And my point from that is we have a ways to go because there's too many people in our city who feel like this gentleman. And we will not be able to get to public safety. We will not be able to make it sustainable if we don't take those opinions into consideration. Now, most people, and we know that by polling and surveys, they want more police because without police, they're buying guns, and there's too many guns on the street right now, and people are mostly afraid of being a victim of violent crime. But When I address this, I'm going to really tailor community to community. So first of all, I agree with this sentiment that if people fear the police, and that's why, again, I am not for stop and frisk, sending out police officers to violate people's constitutional rights. That's going to be counterproductive. But when we have police and we train them properly, And we engage them in how to intelligently, serve the community. And a lot of it begins with those ground patrols on the street, meeting people, communicating, and giving a very different mentality. The mentality is not that we're here to fight criminals all throughout the neighborhood. We're here to protect and serve, and we're here to uphold the rights of people against people who will violate them and harm them, and that mentality is completely different. I do agree, and I think part of the politics of it is that we have an arbitration system, and I, as mayor, I am not giving away the third arbitrator. We're going to have a neutral arbitrator so that when things are done that are wrong, and a police captain or a commander or the department finds a officer that is not fit to be an officer, that person is not coming back. That's through the arbitration process. And with that, you know, the good officers will feel much better about what's going on, and the citizens will as well.
Okay. What is your take on drones and adding that to maybe some supplement, not replace police officers, but work with police officers to make them more effective? Because drones see crime, not color, is what one of the candidates that were running for city council and he had a whole drone program, used to tell me. And that's very true. That could very well help in so many ways. You could have drones that come out during school hours that when the kids are walking mm-hmm. to and from school, that could help. And with our numbers being low, that could help with the crime while we're training and doing better training instead of just trying to push them out really quick. And the other thing, David, what about using the crossing guards and the block captains to work with the police, you know, during the daytime? Because if the crossing guard is out there, how about giving them a vest with a camera on? Then they catch things just because they're there, and that could very well help. So do you? What do you think about that, and could that be something that you might consider?
Yeah, so I think it was about 5 years ago I introduced a resolution for a hearing to look at drone technology and other types of technology.
Okay.
Primarily for policing, but also for firefighting, for LNI, for inspecting bridges and roads and all kinds. Yeah, drones are a very excellent way for us. You know, when there's a car accident on the highway, a drone will come out and assess how many ambulances we need, what we need exactly, you know, how to best handle the traffic. And so when we have police, particularly when we are patrolling, you know, the drones are very good. They have infrared. They record.
Okay.
They can communicate. So I you know, have pushed for drone usage places like Kensington Avenue, where there's so much open-air drug dealing. We can record what's going on. We can then enforce the law. ATVs, dirt bikes, drones are much safer. They're safer for the riders. They allow us to corral those vehicles. What's that?
Looting, like what we just had happen.
Looting, sure.
Yeah, looting, so we can identify these people later and go pick up meatball.
Yes, and for what the gentleman was saying, you know, when the drones give back information, the officers who are rushing out to that emergency scene, they're hyped up because, you know, they're entering a life-threatening situation, and they don't know what they're walking into. The drones give them a sense, you know, they let them deploy better. They let them,
That's
you know.
That's absolutely true.
And so
David,
we're going to have a less violence.
Dr. O is not going to let us go past, and you see how you and I are talking, so we could go to 12 midnight. So caller number six, please.
Well, first of all, I'm not gonna let Wanda go to 12 midnight.
I bet you I could.
Mr. O. Yeah, and that's it. So I'm bringing the caller on. I'm gonna mute Wanda. Caller number six, come on right now with the talker. All right, I'm gonna put you on mute. All right, so I'm gonna bring on another caller. Caller, you're live right now with Wanda Walker, the talker. Put you on mute. All right, Wanda, this is what we're going to do. We're going to have final thoughts, man. Right now it's just you and Brother David. And after your final thoughts, I'm going to come over and go see time. Let's get it.
Okay. My final thought, and I can't really say final because this will go on, but we have to do better if we want change. And we have to be the change. And we're talking about a lot of issues that are in our control to change. Even with the gun violence and things that we see on the street, it really starts at home. So that was the one piece that was left out. We want to complain about the police officers, but they shouldn't even really be an issue in a lot of these things, because if the village was doing what it's supposed to do, then the cops could do other things that are more important that we can't do. But a lot of what we see going on today are things that we have control over by knowing where your kids are most of the time, by having curfews, by instilling values and things like that. Like, it doesn't make sense that we keep making excuse for bad behavior and expecting anything other than chaos, crime, and mayhem. So we have to really look towards ourselves. If you want something different out of public policies and politic as usual in Philadelphia, you have to vote different. That goes, and there's a chance for you to make a difference politically every 6 months. So please register. Don't say you're going to vote and then you don't vote. And it's fun, you know. It's sexy. It's smart. It's intriguing. It's, we've been trained not to talk about religion and politics, and these are the very things we need to desperately talk about because they control our lives and our quality of living. So my last thought, I want to give back to David to see if he has anything he might be able to put in reference to the property, the fighting illegal property taxes, because I am so passionate about generational wealth, and I think one of the avenues or the divisive mechanisms that they use to steal and force sales is improper tax assessment. This crazy stormwater bill, God makes it rain, but you got to pay for the water we didn't even treat that doesn't come in the house. That's a double tax. That, it just doesn't make sense. Why isn't anybody concentrating on bringing in jobs? David, could you talk about this unfair, illegal tax that has our grandparents, you know, not being able to stay in their community after they've paid taxes 20 and 30 years? Thank you.
Yeah, so City Council did an audit of the assessment methodology of the Office of Property Assessment, OPA, and the audit came back that the methodology was below industry standards. And I did a bill to basically reject all further assessments until the methodology was above industry standard, and any of the assessments that were too high, that we would reject those taxes, people wouldn't have to pay those. But my bill was defeated, and Councilmember Parker voted against my bill and did not introduce a bill of her own, right? And so my bill failed, and I brought it back a couple of times. And so what I would do as mayor is this: I will stop the process of assessment, stop it, because it's not above industry standard, and I would halt that process. And people would be, you know, they would not get a new assessment until we straightened out this assessment process. It has to be accurate. And then what happens is we're going to basically include factors that should be included when people's properties are assessed. Many times the properties, there's no description of them. Things like violent crime don't seem to impact whether your assessments are greater or lower, and they should. There's every circumstance of the community, and again, we can do a better job with drones than we're doing currently. They don't even know what the houses look like. They don't distinguish one neighborhood from the next. They're using like entire patches where you'll have wealthy homes next to poor homes, and everyone's getting the same assessment. So yeah, I would straighten that out with the being having the power of the mayor to straighten that out with the Office of OPA.
And what are you going to do for our seniors as far as protecting them from deed fraud and those quick inspections where they don't even knock on the senior's door and they take a picture from above and outside, and the next minute you know they have a second mortgage on that house they didn't even sign for? Like, this is just absurd, the things that are happening. My heart really goes out to the seniors, because you spend your whole life paying taxes and working and taking care of people, and then nobody looks out after you. So I think that they should be in the forefront. You know, families and seniors and our vets should be our number one priority. And if we have anything left for after Philadelphians, then we worry about who's coming in. But we have to take care of Philly first. And the vets and our seniors are number one on the list, because those are the ones that are least protected. So do you have anything for our seniors out there that are listening?
Sure.
And that's where we're going to end, David, because, yep.
Yeah, we're going to have an office that deals with all this fraud, because that's what you would expect your government to do, to look out for people who are vulnerable, people who are being subject to all kinds of new scams and new ways to defraud people. And we have to have an office that focuses on that. And that office is going to have to be able to interface with people in a way that prevents that. And that's what I'm going to do, because there's too much of that going on, especially with all the new technology and seniors being so susceptible to these different schemes.
Yes. And I would hope that we would get a ground task force where we knock on the doors, because sometimes they can't come to those offices and the legal help doesn't really help them. Knock on the door and do an assessment and say, hey, do you need someone to come back and help you with something? Would be really nice. Now, before we get off, I want to mention that we have a Meet the Candidates on the 8th of October at your office, and that's 3545 Ryan Street at 3 p.m. Refreshments, and this is for small landlords and property owners and business owners are even invited, but it's really for, or I made it especially for small landlords because we're being slaughtered. So we'll start at 3, and we'll start the live podcast at 4. And then we have landlords coming to ask you questions and to speak with you because they are very interested in someone listening to them and very disappointed. But I warned them that the person that they wanted to talk to isn't trying to talk to them. And so I said, guess what? David O. will listen to you, and he's the man for the job. So I'll see you again on the 8th for that. I want to also mention again that Dara Griffin is running in District Number 5, Daryl Clark's old district, and she is a write-in, so you have to get her name right. And I think we still have James Whitehead running in District 7. You have to spell her name right, so you'll see her, and she'll pass out the flyers or whatever with her name, or she'll have people at the polls. But James Whitehead, I think, is running for District 7. And Dorisha Parker, my state rep, okay, who is wonderful, she is having something on the 4th of October, 8 to 9:30, and check her page because you'll see it there. She's doing a fundraiser. And then on the, David, you can help me with this. On the 5th, we will be protesting in front of the Juvenile Justice Center. At what? Where is that located? 48th and Market.
So you know a lot of events that are going on, and actually better than I. I'll be there wherever it is.
Okay, and I think that starts at 4. But again, check Yolanda Mitchell's page. Check my page, Wanda Walker. Check David O's page. Check Emmanuel Bussey. Check DKOD. We will all be posting these events and issues that we feel very passionate about that we must bring some change to. So that is, those are my final thoughts, Dr. O. Thank you so very much for giving me some leeway here tonight to talk to the wonderful David O, mayoral candidate for Philadelphia, that's going to make a lot of positive changes and definitely do the right thing. I give the floor back to you, Dr. O. Thank you.
To get the fake tips on what one might have. Fight the hands that feed you. Lead the people who need you. For those that hold you back and mislead you. To be a leader, don't get led on or let in.
the wrong direction, a dead end mixing. The detour, life's like a seesaw, ups and downs, and I bet there'll be more potholes and obstacles in a path that's righteous. At times you need a hand to fight this way in life. Straighten up, take the thought and replace it, and don't you act, you face it. Jealousy and envy, and you still act friendly, you can try to end when you pretend to.
Wonderful Republican candidate for mayor of the city of Philadelphia, you know, for its 100th presentation for voters, Mr. David O. And a person that I really, really respect, and I believe he can be a great, great, great mayor. I'm really hoping that he will do the job. You know, I really, really, really appreciate him coming on. And not only that, but, you know, we want Cherelle Parker to come on this show. I'm hoping that Wanda Walker can get her. You know what I'm saying? Because you need both sides. I'm not voting for her, but we can still come on and have her come on and, you know, and be a part of our legacy. Congratulations to Wanda Walker tonight on her fourth WBNN all-time connection record. And it's just so wonderful to see her back in the winning graces as one of the great, great rookies of the class of 2023. So congratulations to Wanda Walker. And we're off tomorrow. But, of course, the 2022 WBNN Linear New Host of the Year in 2021, and of course winning the overall Anna Waddell Award winner last year, the Dr. Chinchilla Jonesia, a.k.a. Chinchilla J, and News 4 will be on Sunday, 9:30 Eastern Daylight Time, on the one and only Beverly Nation. And of course, WBNN has advertising through Ngozi Time Multimedia, Pinterest, Google, Instagram, and X, formerly known as Twitter. When can I just start saying X? Don't you know it's X, y'all? It's no longer Twitter. It's just X. I'm going to start doing that next week. So if you get it all twisted, you stupid. I'll say tonight, X, formerly known as Twitter. Oh, Delay Malay Wingo's here, Facebook. Any comments, suggestions to our wonderful program tonight? Ole, they lay down, goes with my at gmail.com. I am your mother and father's favorite producer, Ole, Delay Malay Wingo's here. Also known as the good doctor, saying goodnight. Good luck. So all the folks out there on Armed Force Radio support us on a constant basis. And now back to class of 2023, Wanda Walker.
Thank you, everybody. This was a very informative and enjoyable show. I'm going to have David O on again. I'm going to reach out, as Dr. O said, to Cherelle Parker. And I am saying it publicly. I'll even give her the questions ahead of time if that will make her feel more comfortable on coming on. But we need to hear from you. If we don't hear from you, if we can't hear from you and you don't speak to us, then we're not voting for you. And that's our chant and that's our stance on it. You know, we're going to go with the person that we know respects us and protects us and fights for us. And right now, hands down, it's David O. if you know your facts. Thank you very much, and you have a wonderful night, everybody. I'll see you on the next time.